אמן.
פרשת בעלותך. Just now we've been, or we received the Torah, I hope so. Some of us maybe feel something, some of us don't feel anything. Like, okay, it was another yontif. We had a lot of meals to prepare, a lot of cheesecake. But the real question is, did we get something? Because as we said in the past, all the Yom Tovim are really like petrol station to refill our powers, or like electric power to give us light, to give us power to go on with life. Especially Matan Torah, receiving the Torah. This is an unbelievable thing to get the Torah. So did we get it? Didn't we get it? Sometimes there are things that happen inside us and we don't really feel them in the outside, but they're happening. The neshama is something that is connected to God. And sometimes there are certain feelings that we feel inside and we don't know where they came from. They came from God. This is our connection to God. And on Shavuos, we had this special connection to receive the Torah. So it had an influence on us. Especially those who prepare themselves, like you prepared yourself in Sefirat HaOmer. So I'm sure you'll receive the Torah. Which means that we have the power, and now we have to work. We have to do something. Because the main thing is to use this power. And here the parasha is talking about lighting the menorah. What is light? Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. A ner is a mitzvah, and the light is Torah. So the light of the menorah is the Torah that we received. And now it's Be'alotcha. What is Be'alotcha et anerot? How does it explain the translate Be'alotcha? What translation have you got Be'alotcha?
The menorah.
No, I'm saying
lighting the candle.
So I'm asking you, you know a little Hebrew. How do you say lighting in Hebrew? Le'adlik. That's what's written here?
Le'adlik, lo.
What's written? Ba'alotcha. What is ba'alotcha?
Going up.
Going up.
Yes.
So the translation here, as we said before in the past, there is always a problem to translate Torah. Because the translator has two problems. One, to keep to the real meaning of the word. And next, the other thing is that people will understand what the Pasuk says. And translation is not explanation. Unfortunately, some things you cannot just translate. What would it write here? When you went up the menorah? But the real truth is that that's what it says. Be'alotcha. When you make the light of the menorah go up. In other words, it's not just lighting the menorah. It's elevating yourself. Using the light to elevate yourself.
Is
yes.
Baal aloches gedoyle is como beidish. You put inside the, you are Baal, the owner of alachot. Gdolot, no?
Yeah, but Baal Alachot Gdolot is one of the...
I think when you receive the light from the menorah,
yes,
you became all the aloches or all the things from the Torah get inside you.
Here it says.
Like but, you absorb.
One minute. When you read Baal Alachot Gdolot, this is one of the...
This I understand Be-Yiddish.
No, Baal Alachot Gdolot is a translator. It's not a translator, sorry. It's an... how do you say?
Explaining the view of Baal Alachot Gdolot to... I didn't...
Baal Alachot Gdolot is like Siftei Chachamim, Rashi, Rambam, Ramban. It's not an explanation. It's the name of a book that he wrote.
Ah, okay. I understood that you absorb the.
But it's
when
okay.
You get the light from the menorah, is you are absorbing all the.
So, but we're talking here about the one who is lighting the menorah. In other words, we have here a lesson to teach us. We got the Torah, and now we have to take this Torah and pass it over. Now, how do you pass it over to your children, to your pupils, to your friends? How do you do it? Just lighting them, lighting it, or you have to do something?
Teaching them.
What is the way of teaching? I'm just like teaching them in a way that they will know what is being said and that's it, or maybe teaching them.
The way you practice and they see the way you practice.
And in other words, to give them the tools to uplift themselves by themselves. In other words, I'm teaching them, I'm giving them the light in order for them to take this light and spread it all over and develop it. In other words, if a teacher, if a rabbi, if a parent doesn't give his children the right tools, so nothing is going to happen. The maximum that's going to happen is that they are going to say exactly what he said. But if they will have something new, if they will be by themselves, can they learn Torah? Can they stay with the light? Or they need you all the time? They need you in order to stand there and light them all the time. That's not the idea. You light the candles and then you move away. And the candle goes up by itself. This is Ba'alot Chatanerot. The candle goes with his own power and goes up. And who gives him the tools?
You.
You. You have to give him the tools. The same way as you got the tools from your rabbi, from your parents. I talked about in the past. There are parents sometimes that want to live their dream through the children. They wanted to achieve something in life. They couldn't make it.
Yes, to be a doctor.
To be a dancer, a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, a millionaire, whatever. Now, they couldn't do it. So what do?
They tell their children.
They want their children to do it. Now, what do you think? Or, let's say, are they going to be successful in this way?
Sometimes. Not often.
No. Not really sure. Look, they try, but they can't, it's not a definite thing. They can't be sure.
But is it the right way?
No.
To try to live your dreams through your children?
Definitely not.
But when you're lighting the menorah, it isn't only the light going up. It's your neshama itself that's supposed to be going up.
Nev Adam, Nishmat Adam. That's exactly what. Why do you light a candle for a neshama? Yeah. It's symbol of your neshama. The neshama is the light. So, in other words, if you want to understand the way to educate our children, the way to transfer the Torah, the way to try, because you see, if I was not successful and I'm going to try to make my children to do what I couldn't do, it will never work in a proper way from a very simple reason. Because what they see at home is that you couldn't make it. And if you couldn't make it, why should they make it? If you want your children to be Talmidei Chachamim, but you are not a Talmid Chacham, so what are you going to do? You cannot try and force your children to be Talmidei Chachamim if they haven't got the abilities.
Yeah, of course not.
Especially when they look at you and they see that you haven't got the abilities. He says, what do you want from me? You couldn't make it. You want me to make it? I am your son. I am your daughter. Why do you think I can do more than you did?
I have a son.
But yet, all parents teach their children to do more than they were able to do.
So how? And do we want it?
Huh?
Do we want it?
Of course.
Of course. So how do we do it? That's what I'm talking about. is it the right way to try and make them what they are not? Or in other words, to teach them or to try to teach them to be more than you are while you are the sample that they are looking to? Because you have to understand, your children are looking up to their parents. The pupils look up to their teacher.
Yeah, but how many times do you see people who, women or men, come from the worst place you come and wind up with children who are brilliant or whatever it may be? And we always say they achieved even in spite of their parents.
Well,
and you know how you do it.
Sometimes if you've got the wrong kind of parents, it inspires the children to become different. But every child is an individual. It's impossible to predict who's going to do what.
The Rav Meir Munk explains that to a lot of us is this basic mistake in education that we do not understand that you not educate your children through words and commands. You educate your children through
deeds.
The environment of the house and what you do.
Deeds.
In other words, words by themselves without deeds have got no meaning. You can tell your children, let's say, for example, you eat with your hands, and you tell your children you eat with a knife and fork. Would it work?
No.
Look at you.
No.
You eat with your hands. If you will eat with knife and fork, your children will learn, even if you don't tell them what to do.
By example.
Exactly. So, every demand that is not at the level of what's happening in the house is not going to happen. You cannot demand higher level from your children than the level in your house. In other words, if you are stupid, you cannot try to demand from your children to be the biggest professors in the world. You cannot demand it. But I want my children to be better than me. So how do I do it? What's the right way of doing it? For example, if we talk about the Torah, and that's what we're talking about.
They tell a story about a young couple who are married, and the woman is pregnant, and they go to the Rebbe and says, "Listen, my wife, we're expecting a child." He said, "What should we do?" And he said, "You came too late.
You came too late, yes. Exactly.
No, in our case, we are talking about children, but we are worried with our grandchildren because the environment that we gave them, we did tshuva late. Then I have a son that say, "I have time. When I'll have the age that you were, when you did tshuva, I will do tshuva."
So, you remind me, my son started smoking.
Uh-huh.
I used to smoke very little. And I had a box of cigarettes in my car. And suddenly I found out that I normally used to have this box for a week, sometimes even 2 weeks. I smoke one cigarette a day, two. And suddenly I see that the box is finished after 2 days, 3 days. And then I realized my son is using my cigarettes. So you're going to your son and you tell him, "Stop smoking." What is he going to tell me?
"You smoking.
You're smoking.
Yeah.
You want me to stop smoking?"
Cigarettes.
So I stopped smoking. And then I came to my son and said, "Stop smoking." He said, "I stopped." What do you think he said? till the age of 40 you smoke. So I will aim. So I'll stop at 40.
No.
So what do you do? Yeah. I tell you what you do.
I give the examples. You go on, exactly. All the
so I could give up and start smoking again. But I didn't. So my child is looking at me and he's saying that I don't smoke anymore. And the atmosphere is that smoking is deadly. It's no good. So slowly but surely it got into him and he cannot even smell the cigarettes. The same way, if I want my children to be successful, I have to have an atmosphere in the house in favor of those things that I want my children to achieve. In other words, I don't have to be a great rabbi. But when my child comes home, he will see that we adore the Torah. We adore the rabbis. So when he feels this admiration to those good things, this is going into him and he will want to be what we are, let's say, praying for. In other words, it's not only the behavior that of our level of understanding or of our professional level, of our success, our own success. It's the way we look at life and the atmosphere we have at home. So if you grow up in a home that, for example, love classic music, nobody is a musician, but they just, the whole day, they hear music. What do you think is going to happen to a child in a home like this? He will try and achieve, let's say, and get to the level of learning music.
Yeah.
And he will be much greater than his parents. Why? Because his parents didn't force him and didn't try to live a dream through him. They just made an atmosphere of, this is what is good in life. This is nice. This is what we adore. So the child also started to adore those things. And children, when they love something, they go and try to do something with it. And when they get from us a positive feedback and, let's say, a prize and another good, which means that if I go this way, this is the best way. And my parents want me to go through this way.
Yes.
This is be'alotcha et hanerot. Make the right environment for your children to, how do you say, flourish. You don't force them to do anything. You make the right environment and you be the example that this is the right environment. That is what you will really want to do. This is the most important thing in life. Yes, I couldn't make it. But when the children live in an atmosphere that this is the best in life, they want to get there. In other words, in this way, you take the best out of your children.
Didn't work, though. We had music, Mara and I, all the time. Sinatra, Tony Bennett, my children.
Music.
My
they
children don't
music.
Even like it. What happened?
They listen to music, but not that kind of music. There's the same problem with the music. I was brought up with Chazanut and opera.
Yes.
And my daughter hates it.
And you?
My son.
And you?
I love it. I love opera. I love Chazanut.
So in your case, it did help.
So maybe you were not successful enough to bring it to the next generation. My son is now composing Hasidic music and playing the guitar, and he loves it. And we're always talking about the Chazanut.
So 1 minute. So it did influence.
So the son, but my daughter.
Oh, okay. You want 100% success? You want 100% success. That's the. What can we do? You have to understand. At the end of the day, each one of us got different talents.
Yes.
So that's why I just took those examples. But the idea is, for example, if you want your children to be fearing God, this is something that everybody can achieve. So how do you do it? If you are the right example, that's what your children will do.
Yeah.
You do the right environment. But of course, if you say, you know, you shouldn't do this, and the next day your children see that you do it, you tell them you have to keep kosher, but then when you're very angry and you're outside somewhere, you just go and eat something that's not exactly kosher. So what do you think your children are going to think? In other words, it's not, you have to be an example.
And continually.
And exactly. And go on with it. You cannot just stop, like with the cigarettes. I could give up. If my child doesn't listen to me, says, okay, you smoke to the age of 40, I'm going to smoke to the age of 40. Okay, so a failure. Yes? No, it's not a failure.
No.
You have to build it. This is Baalot Chatanerot. It doesn't say, okay, light the candles and go home. It doesn't work like this. You have to put efforts into it. If you don't put effort into it, nothing is going to happen.
But also, you could fail in this, because if your son is smoking and he is in an environment that everybody in his group smokes,
so what?
He cannot.
So what did you say now?
It's fancy. It's something.
But that's exactly the problem.
No.
You know, home is one part of education. If you can't close your kids at home and give them all the things you want to give them, you're right. But it doesn't work like this.
No.
So this is when you have to be careful about where you send your children. Unfortunately.
We are adults.
Yeah, but you see that's exactly what Marty said a few minutes ago. When they came to the rabbi, he told them, "You are a year too late."
Okay, this is the problem.
Yes, but first of all, you don't give up. You never give up.
No.
That's first of all. You never give up. And secondly, you have to understand. Yes, you did a mistake. You didn't start early enough. And the influence of the street and of the environment, of the group that he's living with, had an influence on him. What do you think? That's what happens. But that's what we said. When I want to give my children the right tools, I have to make sure that I give them the right tools. And a part of those right tools is the right environment.
And it works a fool also.
Of course it works a fool.
I have story of my other son that he began to make tshuva. Why? Because his environment was like this. He put mikre, the children in schools that goes with tzitzit, is not and other things, and slowly they begin.
Vakasha?
No, is the environment. It
of course.
Kacha v'kacha.
Exactly. So this is our job. Sometimes.
You give the example.
But you see, first of all, you give the example. Then it's not only to give the example, because you give the example and then you send your kid to the lion cage. What did you do?
No.
Okay, so he comes home. Oh, beautiful, kosher, spirituality, everybody's learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, and then you send him to a school which everybody's violent, like violent everywhere. Not keeping anything, not Jewish or not religious, and you expect him to do what? It's got a conflict now. And unfortunately, your Yetzer Hara is much harder than, much stronger than we. So if you, from one side, giving the right environment, and the other side, you send him to the wrong environment, you have a problem.
We have here in Israel problems, because
the problems are everywhere.
Like, I have she sent my grandchildren in the best school from the city that she lives. I went to a party from
the end of the year.
The parents. One lives with the other. Two men. No, they collect from the children are twins that the parents are, and they go to Yom Holedet in this house from them, and they go in the best school from the city, you know. And another thing, other things that is...
Yeah, but that's why, that's why Jews everywhere try to build their own schools, their own education system, and even if the children were a part of the general education, they made sure and put more efforts into trying to make or to change the influence of the wrong environment in building a much, much, much better environment at home and in the community. That's why we have communities abroad that from one side children unfortunately go to the normal school with the goyim, but then in the afternoon they have special classes in the Jewish community. Yeah. And they have, and when you make sure that you have the best teacher, the best rabbis, and when they come home they see the right things, then you will be successful. Of course, we try to do the best we can. And sometimes we fail. But as long as we try...
We should not, what bothered me, we should not isolate ourselves strictly with the Orthodox only. This is how we separate ourselves from each other.
Yeah, but you see, the point is like this. At a certain age, you need to give the child the best education you can and make sure that he's not going to be exposed to the bad side of life. Then when he's got the power, that's exactly Ba'alot Chatanerot. What is the idea? The idea is you light a candle in a way that it can light by itself. As long as it cannot light by itself, you cannot leave it, because the wind will come and turn it off. And there is no light. So in other words, if you don't give the light, the child, the right fuel, the right tools, the right power to stand against the environment, you cannot expose him to the environment. Mm-hmm. You're right. You should live with everybody. But before you go to everybody, you have to build yourself. Because otherwise... It's like saying, okay, the child will grow by himself in the street. Is this possible?
No.
Of course not. And that's the same thing. So in other words, you need to have a special education for your children to go in your way, in the right way, in the way of the Torah. That's what is written here in the parasha. Be'alotcha et hanerot. El mul pnei ha-menorah ya'iru. That's what it's saying. What is el mul pnei ha-menorah? There is also a direction. They have to light in the right direction. You don't let them light to wherever they want to. It's not enough to give them the fuel to light. And you have to give them the direction also. It's not enough giving food. Giving, the clothes, the food. You have to give them the right direction. What clothes do you wear? What food do you eat? When you go to sleep, when you wake up, how many hours a night you have to sleep? Where do you go to have fun? Do you go to a pub, to a disco, to a nightclub? Who are your friends? Are they good friends? Yes, it's not easy. That's why it's not written, light the candles. What is written? Be'alotcha et hanerot.
My little was in Moscow. He went to Soviet, from college.
Yeah, yeah.
Soviet Jewry to say to help to bring them out. And it was his bar mitzvah parsha.
Be'alotcha.
Moscow, yeah. And he went into Shul Shabbos. And he says they have like...
different
minyanim all over, like tiny little minyanim.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stiebels. Yeah.
And he asked if he can do the Haftorah. And they said, of course. So he got up and he's got a nice voice. And little by little he says,
all the Stiebels came to him.
And they were,
oh, wow.
And he says that people started crying.
That is lighting the candles.
Wow.
That is lighting the candles. When you do something, and you do it with a neshama, there is an influence. And if the influence is a positive influence, that's exactly what we want to achieve. After receiving the Torah, that's what we want to do. We want to achieve this. And we haven't got a lot of time, unfortunately. So in a few minutes, I want to go through a few other things in our parsha. Let's look, there are, unfortunately, a few of not so nice things in our parsha, but let's look at the nice things. For example, one of the things is the sacrifice of Passover. There are a group of people that are impure and they cannot bring the sacrifice of Pesach. So what would you do when a day there is no tachanun, everybody is happy. Ah, we don't have to do it. But here we learn a big lesson. They approach Moshe Rabbeinu and they ask him, in Pasuk, Perek Tet, I think, Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Vayhi Anashim. Got it? Vayi Anashim?
Pasuk is...
Pasuk 6. Pasuk Vav. Vayi Anashim. Perek Tet. Yes, exactly. Yes. Vayu Anashim, asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam. ולא יכלו לעשות הפסח ביום ההוא. Couldn't make the Pesach. ויקרבו לפני משה. What do they do? They don't say, okay, we don't have to do it. Let's go sleep. They come to Moshe and they tell him. ויראו אנשים. אנחנו תמאים לנפש אדם. למה ניגרע לבלתי יקריב את קורבן השם? Why are we going to not be a part of this sacrifice. We want also to bring the sacrifice of Passover. What is Moshe Rabbeinu doing?
He says, stand and I will hear what Hashem will command you.
Do you understand what this is?
Yes. Sir.
This is Moshe Rabbeinu. We have two sides. The greatness of Am Yisrael and the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Am Yisrael, they couldn't make a mitzvah, so they don't say, okay, hey, Baruch Hashem, don't have to make the mitzvah. And it happens to us a lot. No. If you love somebody, if you love God, you don't look at the things that the mitzvahs as an, let's say,
as a burden.
As a burden. You look at it as a, how do you see, as a merit, as a good thing. I want to do as much as I can because I love God. When I love somebody, I don't do only what I have to do. I do also what I don't have to do. And if sometimes I cannot do something, I want to find a way to do it because I want to make it good. I love this. I love him or her. Or I want to do things to show my love. They love God. They couldn't bear it that they couldn't bring the sacrifice. We want to bring the sacrifice. How many times you hear in shul when there is no tachanun? Why don't we do tachanun? We want to say tachanun. Do you hear it?
Yeah.
If a chazan makes, if a chazan davens 3 minutes more, whoa, what are you doing? Here you have people, they don't have to do the mitzvah, but they want to do the mitzvah. And from the other side, we see the greatest of Moshe Rabbeinu. There is none, nobody like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, wait a minute, I'll ask God and I'll tell you an answer. Who can do a thing like this? Only Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is the ultimate leader of Am Yisrael. He is described in our parsha, the most humble man on earth. And from the other side, when Miriam and Aaron are talking, Loshon Hara, what Loshon Hara did they say? It says, is only Moshe holy? Because he separated himself from his wife, because he was very holy and connected with God all the time, so he separated himself from his wife. He says, maybe we should also do the same. And right in this spot, God appears,
it was this
and he calls them.
They said, maybe we'll do the same.
Yes. It says, Aaron didn't say, Miriam said it. Aaron didn't say anything. Aaron listened.
Yeah,
Miriam said it.
Yes, Aaron listened and he did, because this he did.
Yes. Miriam said it. And then God appears and he tells them off.
Yeah.
I'm not going, we haven't got time, so I'm doing it very quickly.
No, yeah.
And what is he telling them? He says, and what did they do? She just say, maybe we should do like Moshe Rabbeinu did. He left his wife. Maybe we should. Maybe they had an idea. Why did he leave his wife? What is it? Oh, it doesn't matter. God appears and says, how dare you talk on my servant Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm talking through his mouth. Are you the same level as him? All the prophets, I talk through a dream, through mirrors. The only prophet that I talk directly is Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, you can say whatever you want and Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to say anything because he is the most humble man on earth. But I'm saying, says God, how dare you talk and compare yourself to Moshe Rabbeinu?
He was punished also, yes, Aaron.
Aaron was punished, Miriam was punished on the spot. She had leprosy. And then Moshe Rabbeinu asked to cure it.
What was the punishment?
I really don't remember, but I remember there was something, but I cannot remember, because Aaron really didn't do anything in this case. Like, he listened, but he should have, because he says, you talked, God talked to both of them. But the one who got the punishment right away was Miriam. Because Aaron just
listened.
Just listening is also.
No, you can see that point.
Just listening is also a sin.
Yeah. If you listen and you don't say stop talking,
come back.
It's not easy. I'm not saying it's really not easy to be like so careful about Lashon Hara. But the lesson has to be taught and the lesson has to be learned.
Yes.
That we should be very careful with it, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And here we see in our parsha, from one side we saw that the way to educate, the way to transfer our love to God, is to do things even if we don't have to do them, but do them in the right way, do them in the right environment, do them with not lighting the candles, but elevating, that giving the right tools, so the one that you give him the light can stay with the light even if you leave. He can still be there and develop and go up. And from the other side, we saw the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. That with all his greatness, he was the most humble man on earth. Which is also telling us, even if you are a great guy, you still have to be humble. Because the one who gives us everything is God. And the idea of Matan Torah that we received on Sunday is to take the light and spread it all over. Light of love, light of kindness, the light of the Torah, the right environment. To be a good sample to our spouses, to our families, in order for them to feel that the best thing in life is to elevate yourself, to go up, to connect yourself with God. Shkoyer.
Shkoyer.